Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you with me. It's exciting because I have a special guest in the studio with me, and I love having folks in the studio. It makes for an interesting dialogue. Phone's good, but I like doing it in person if I can. So we're welcoming back a repeat guest, and you know what that means, right? When they come back, they're good, because if they're not any good, I'm not going to invite them back, all right? So in the studio with me is Dennis Miller. And he is a special guy. He's an author, speaker, consultant. He's written the book, As a Retiree, Retirement Reboot, and his own personal journey and experience and the things he did to get his retirement back on track. He put all that into a book called Retirement Reboot. And he's also got the website, millersmoney.com, free weekly newsletter, Miller's Money Weekly. And one of the other things that's interesting about Dennis is that he is a regular contributor to MarketWatch, and he's the only retire mentor they have that is actually retired. How about that? Well, let's welcome Dennis to the program. Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me back on.
I'm glad to. Well, you heard me what I said to the listeners. I meant every word of it, Dennis. If you're good, you come back. If you don't, then, well, we don't talk about that. But no, we're glad to have you. And I love your perspective. You are retired, but then you're also very busy again. I know that you've kind of taken your own personal experience, and it's become very well received in how you actually are helping others think about their retirement and some of the challenges. And one of the big ones, one of the big questions, and there are some very dug-in opinions or perspectives, a war of attrition, if you will, on the subject of Social Security. And there are some folks that say, take it as early as possible. There are some that say, put it off as long as you can. And some of these positions seem very, what's the right word, Dennis? Almost like a cult, if you will. I mean, very, very passionate, strong positions. Almost like you're a fool if you don't do it their way. So I'm really interested to get your take on Social Security. And for our listeners, the buzzword in the financial industry is optimization of Social Security. So what do you think?
Well, I've got a real problem with what you just said, because it is exactly accurate. And the article that you picked up on it when you decided we wanted to talk about this was the one that I had written for MarketWatch, where we use the analogy of Jack Webb from Dragnet, you know, just the facts. And it started by something that I read, and I'm going to read it to you. It's real simple. It says, two-thirds of Americans take Social Security at age 62, giving up roughly $180,000 if single, $323,000 if married. That's all it says. Now, what's the implication? The implication is you don't take it at 62, and the two-thirds of the people that do are obviously making a mistake. It's a no-brainer.
It's very judgmental.
It's very judgmental, and it's very wrong, okay? And, you know, I had another one that I saw recently where it said something to the effect that if you love your spouse, you will wait to claim your Social Security.
Okay.
So then the two-thirds of the people that took it early apparently don't love their spouse.
Or don't love them enough.
Yeah, exactly. And in the article, the author says, for most people, filing for Social Security benefits early is wrong, wrong, and wrong. Now, David, I'd have taken issue with him if he'd have said right, right, and right. So the issue is, when it's presented in such a manner by a professional to make it sound like a no-brainer, I think they're doing their reader, or in your case, a financial planner that would do that, you're doing the client a tremendous, tremendous disservice. Now, let me dig into the example of the $180,000.
Sure.
I decided that I was going to play the same game. So I took a hypothetical case of a gentleman that was single, just to keep it easy, they used the $180,000, and he was above the Social Security maximum. He decided to retire at 62 and take his Social Security, and it turned out that it would be, in round numbers, $2,000 a month. Well, okay, here's the value proposition. If you take it at 62, by the time you're 70, you will have received a little over $190,000.
Yep.
So now you're $190,000 ahead. Now, by the time you are somewhere around 80, it's a break even. So whether you took it early or you took it late is irrelevant.
It breaks even.
You break even. So by that time you're 80. Now, if you live to be about 91, yeah, you could lose $180,000. Now, I also ask him this question. When you're 62, can you guarantee me that when you're 70, Social Security will exist in the same form it is today? Can you guarantee that it won't be means tested? Can you guarantee that it won't be taxed at a higher rate? Can you guarantee you're going to even live to 70? Now, David, I can make that sound like a no-brainer in the opposite side,
right?
Just as easy, and I would be doing your listeners and my readers a disservice.
Amen. You know, the thing that really strikes me with this, Dennis, and I share your frustration and also a passion for helping people understand that this is not one-size-fits-all financial planning. You know, and I've shared this with you before, Dennis, and I'll, for the benefit of our listeners, one of the things that I've seen in the financial services area is that there can be a lot of spin, a lot of partisanship, for lack of a better word. People stake out these positions that usually have something to do with what benefits them. So one of the most important things I want our listeners to take from our conversation, and there's lots more to go here, is that the decision about how and when to take Social Security is as about of an individualized decision as there can be when it comes to your finances. And back to your point about taking it at 62 versus 70, the thing that's left out when somebody says, like you read, or somebody says, hey, if you take it at 62, you know, you're giving up all this in the future. The thing that is left out of these one-dimensional analyses that go on is, yeah, but what if you need the money? And if you don't take that $2,000 a month from Social Security and you need the income, it's got to come from somewhere else. So when we do this analysis, it's not just how much more you might get in Social Security from 70 to 90 or how much you're going to get from 62 to 70. Where will you get the other dollars you need to make the math work, to make the bills get paid? And that seems to be often, it's very one-dimensional, a lot of these things. It's similar, Dennis, to folks that say, don't ever buy a mutual fund. Just put your money in the stocks. Or you should buy all stocks and bonds. Don't ever do an annuity. It's all very just, it's like they want to make it a rule of thumb, or they just, it's all very broad brush stroke and just maybe out with the bathwater.
Yeah, the problem, though, in this particular case that I see is this is a very expensive decision.
Oh, yeah.
And for most people, it's irreversible. And, you know, that's part of the aspect of having a good financial planner with a fiduciary relationship, where at least they are required or compelled to present both sides of the argument. Because, David, I think that there's two different sides to that argument. One is the math. One is the numbers.
Yes.
But let me give you two very real-world cases. I went to high school with a guy named Danny. Danny was the cross-country runner. We went to our 50th high school class reunion. And Danny wears the same jacket that he wore to the prom.
How about that?
When Danny turned 70, he very proudly told me he had outlived every male member of his family by 20 years.
Wow.
His older brother, Kenny, died in his 40s from a heart attack. Okay? And Danny died a year later. Now, I can look at my particular case. My grandmother lived until 2 months short of her 100th birthday.
Wow.
My mother's twin sister is still alive, and she is about 7 months short of her 100th birthday. So where do we factor in the family history, the longevity, and those kinds of factors into the equation? Because for Danny, thank God he took it when he started at 62.
Yeah.
Because he just barely made it.
He would have had
70.
1 year of it, right.
You know, and if he didn't take it then, you know, is the case that we worked up in our article. If that guy died at 70, he'd have left $190,000 on the table. And I think his spouse, if he had been married, I made him single, would have very much appreciated that. So that it's so much more than just a rule of thumb, one size fits all. And one of the biggest concerns I had when I wrote the article is that if a financial planner, if you're a stockbroker, if you're an insurance person, if somebody's telling you just one side of that equation, that better be sending up a real red flag, because it is much more complicated than that.
Amen. You know, the thing that really strikes home with that to me, Dennis, is that we talk about some of this analysis being one-dimensional. You do need to look at both sides. And, you know, I can run, I've got software. If somebody asks me, Dennis, what, you know, optimize my Social Security, what's the perfect age for me to take Social Security? And do I take it at this age, that age? What is my filing technique? Do I draw off my own earning record? Do I draw off my spouse's? I can look at all these scenarios and I can show you where the graphs intersect and we can do all the math. But the thing that you always have to do is you need to look at other assets, and even more important, the person's situation. You talked about longevity. What about their preferences? What about their comfort level? You know, if I tell somebody to take Social Security at age 70 and they're 62, Dennis, and for 8 years they're going to sleep 3 hours a night because they're worried about Social Security still being around at 70, I have done them a major disservice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, David, I don't want to get a bunch of hate mail from your listeners, but there also happens to be another aspect, and that is I can show you some statistics that shows you the government's broke. The Social Security system is in terrible jeopardy. Everybody running for Congress says we've got to fix Social Security. That's a code word. That code word means we've got to find a way to reduce the benefits, particularly for the people on the high end. Can any of us guarantee that Social Security is going to exist 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the road like it is today? And that's a big unknown. So why does a person take that risk themselves? And I'm not saying that you should take it early or take it late, but that also, that risk factor has got to be factored into the equation.
It sure does. And if you don't do that, then you're leaving out a big piece. Just joining us, Dennis Miller is my guest today, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, consultant. The book is Retirement Reboot. Love it. Good book. Millersmoney.com/free book. Dennis has made available on our website a free offer for you. You can take a look at that. And he's also got the weekly newsletter, Miller's Money Weekly. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with Dennis. Stay right there.
What if in the time it takes to eat lunch, you could potentially strengthen your financial future? Would you invest 1 hour to plan stronger? If you spend just 1 hour with certified financial planner David Holland, you'll get simple, straightforward advice to help you plan stronger. And if you already have a financial plan, isn't it worth an hour to get a second opinion? There is no cost or obligation to meet with David. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com for more information.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis is a regular contributor to MarketWatch. He's also a retired mentor, the only one that has actually been retired. We're super happy to have Dennis Miller actually in the studio today. The book is Retirement Reboot, and the website is millersmoney.com. And I wanted to ask you kind of a loaded question, Dennis, and I know you won't mind because you're fully prepared to respond to it. With the nature of all of this that we talked about with Social Security, what's the first step for somebody? Let's say somebody's 60 or 61. They're thinking about retirement. Thankfully, they're thinking about what do I do, and they want to plan ahead. But what's the first step and some of the steps they can take to really get their mind wrapped around this whole Social Security decision?
Well, I think, David, you actually have to start by looking at a much bigger picture. And I think sometimes this is where, if they are the financial means where they can use a consultant or somebody who can truly be objective, is where they start. Because what people don't realize is Social Security is an annuity. And, you know, the old story about don't ever buy annuities because everybody thinks when you die, your money's gone. Well, actually, in the annuity industry, that isn't always true.
Right.
But it is about Social Security.
That's true. It's actually 92% not true in the annuity world. Now, only about 8% of the annuities that are used where you don't get the money at the end.
Yeah. So there's the death benefit from the annuity from the insurance company, but there's not through the Social Security. So that if, in fact, you are deferring it, you're taking the big end of that bet, the $190,000, whatever. But, David, I think it's also important, and you're the expert on this one more than I, there are times where it is wise to defer it. And I've heard cases where There's a great disparity of income between the husband and the wife.
Sure.
And when one dies, the survivor gets to pick one of the checks. Or there is perhaps an age gap, maybe 8-10 years between the husband and the wife. So in that case, where the guy wrote, if you love your spouse, you'll defer it, maybe there are certain circumstances like that that have to be considered. But I think those are the kinds of things that an expert on Social Security is well worth the time, because it's such an expensive decision and you don't want to make the wrong one, but you need to be sitting down and you need to be talking to somebody who understands all the other options. And that's where you really have to start, because there are times it's smart to defer and there's times that it's not. Now, if they were to ask me my opinion, I start with telling them about my friend Danny. You know, what is your realistic life expectancy? You know, Danny had a quadruple bypass before he was old enough for Social Security. So those are aspects of it. I think, David, you touched on one of them. Do you need the money?
Yeah, that's a big one. And you have other money.
You know, and that's one of the things I talk about in our Miller's Money. I use the term retiring rich. And I define that by saying you have enough money to maintain a comfortable lifestyle and not have to constantly worry about money. Well, if you're constantly worrying about money, you're not enjoying your retirement. So that has to be factored in. And then we have to sit down and you use your calculator, you use your numbers, and then you have to sit down and make a judgment call. I had a friend recently where they sat down and went back and forth and back and forth, and it was kind of in the middle. And she made a comment to her financial advisor about, do you think the system will be changed? And he said, eventually they're going to have to. And she said, well, what effect will that have on us? And his comment was, well, I'm guessing, because nobody knows, but I think the people that are already collecting their Social Security will be grandfathered in. She said, that's good enough for me. And the next day she went and filed. So, David, those are all the factors. But you need somebody that's going to be objective and not take this one size. If you love your spouse, you're going to defer it. Or two-thirds of the people are leaving $180,000 on the table. I mean, that is just totally, totally irresponsible. I can't imagine a financial planner with a fiduciary responsibility taking a position like that. God, well, they would be leaving themselves vulnerable, and they'd be hurting their client.
Well, I can tell you I wouldn't do that, Dennis. I'll give you some measure of redeeming the financial service community that you know, to do this right, what I do, and this will help kind of, you know, put the wheels on the pavement here, is I run it both ways. And because the thing that is often missing from this analysis is that you've got to have other, if you need the money, let's start with, we're going to retire at 62, no question. And we need $2,000 a month in income, couple. Let's say we're using a couple, they're both 62. So the question then becomes, if they took Social Security, they can get the $2,000 a month. Okay, so that's bird in hand, or that's our default position. What else can we do to get the $2,000 a month if we really would benefit by waiting to age 70 or whatever we did with Social Security? Then the money has to come from somewhere. And if it comes from somewhere, what is the opportunity cost?
Exactly. And I think, David, there's also part of the other side of that equation that has to be dealt with. And that is, you don't have to take it at 62 or 70. You can take it anywhere in between.
Right.
But if you take it before your full retirement age, and then you do have earned income, you do decide to go back to work, then there's a deduct from your Social Security. So that, I think one of the things that people have to understand is, if you're taking it at 62, you're locking yourself into that lower payment, but then you don't get that whole $190,000 that we talked about in our article. If you're going to keep working, that changes the math. So you have to, you know, this is so complicated when you look at it, but I think that's where you need the professional to look at all of these variables. Now, at least as I understand it, once you've reached full retirement age now, then you can go back to work. You're fine.
Yep, I'm glad to tell you, Dennis, if you make $1 million after you're 66, if that's your normal retirement age, they don't take anything away. But if it's before your normal retirement age, you only can make, and I don't have the immediate number in my head, but it's $15,000, $16,000 a year. That's it. You can't make any more than that. They'll start taking your Social Security back. And that's a great point, Dennis, because that's another factor is what do you plan to do if you take Social Security at 62? Are you going to work or are you being forced to stop? And if you now I will say that if you can continue to work, it's probably good to wait on Social Security. If you can wait, if you can work till 66, keep your job and keep going and stay active and, you know, reduce the number of years that you'll have to have paper retirement and allow your retirement assets to accumulate further. But you raise a great point that you've got to really think through the tax consequences if you do take and you have earned income.
Yeah, and I think there's another aspect too. You know, retirement doesn't mean you're quitting working.
Yes.
Retirement means you're quitting whatever you did from your career, and you maybe want to do something different. I happen to read Flying Magazine. I don't own a plane, but I enjoy reading the magazine. And there's a very interesting author that's writing every month. And this guy was I believe he was a cardiologist. He had a very successful career. And then he decided to retire and follow his dream. And he's now a charter pilot, you know, for one of these jet services going all over the country. He writes phenomenal articles, and he's having a ball doing what he loves. So the fact is that all of these things come together, but they're related. Because you're retired doesn't mean you're going to quit working.
Yeah,
it might mean you go do something, you have some fun working in your hobby or something like that. But it all has to come together.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. I'm in the church of Dennis Miller. He is helping us understand some of these issues that affect your retirement, including Social Security. The book is Retirement Reboot, and the website is millersmoney.com. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to get the most from Social Security? Don't let a simple mistake prevent you from receiving all the benefits you've earned. David Holland recently showed a retiring couple how they could get an extra $84,000 in Social Security benefits over their expected lifetime. Wow! Don't leave your money on the table. Call Holland Financial today for your one-on-one appointment. David can do a free analysis for you and show you the optimal age to start drawing Social Security and filing techniques to maximize your benefits. There is no cost or obligation. Call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Dennis Miller in the studio with me today, author, speaker, consultant, and a regular contributor to MarketWatch. He's the retirement mentor that has actually been retired. And of course, you wouldn't know that talking to Dennis. Very active with his millersmoney.com and his free weekly Miller's Money Weekly and the book, Retirement Reboot. We're super happy to have Dennis with us. And we're talking about Social Security. And, you know, the thing that really, for our listeners, Dennis, the big thing here, and I know we've hit it before, but I'm going to hit it again, is that this thing is a multifaceted issue, and we really need to spin it around and look at it from all angles. And one of the things I want to also mention, Dennis shared with me on the break, that if you go to millersmoney.com/free book, Dennis has a special offer you can take a look at for listeners of this program. Thank you for doing that, Dennis. So the issue is, with this thing being multifaceted, where you've got all these different aspects and angles and factors that affect drawing the Social Security, we can run the numbers, but we have to come back to saying, okay, that's the numbers. Now let's, you know what it reminds me of, Dennis? It reminds me of building a car. And they put it in, they build it, they engineer it, they put it in the wind tunnel, they do all these things, and everything's just perfect. So it's an obvious answer about that car. But then you pull it out, and you put it out on the real road, and you've got varying wind direction, you've got humidity, you've got different things that affect the way that car drives. That's a really good analogy for this, that, you know, you've got to consider the real-world application of all this Social Security mumbo-jumbo, the crunching of the numbers, because there may be bumps and other problems along that road to getting your Social Security that you have to factor in to get a complete picture. And I've had people say, I didn't expect you to tell me to take it at 62, or I didn't expect you to tell me it's at 66, or I didn't expect you to tell me to take it at 70, because each person's situation and their preferences, their biases, what they're comfortable with, is going to determine the best plan for them.
Yeah, I think you're right. David, what people a lot of times get confused with is Social Security is an annuity. It was just forced upon us, and it's probably a good thing for society, where we've been paying premiums all our life as we've been working. Now, you know, a lot of people ask about, is an annuity a good investment? Well, you're investing in an annuity, and the only way it becomes a good investment is if you outlive your normal mortality. And I can't tell you if it's a good investment until you die.
Yeah, this is the immediate annuity you're talking
about.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And the fact remains is that whether you take it early or you take it late, you're looking at it from an investment perspective. And the only way it can turn out to be a good investment by taking it later is if you outlive your normal mortality. And if you do that, it's a good investment. But David, I have friends who've taken their Social Security early. I've never had one person say, darn, I should have waited till later.
How about?
And I also know some folks that had a little bit better means and decided to take it later, and they aren't complaining either because they did what they felt was right for them at the time. My reason for writing the article wasn't to tell people when to take it and not to take it. That's your job, David. Mm-hmm. My reading for writing the article is if any one of your listeners out there are only getting a one-sided presentation like, this is the only way to do it, it's a no-brainer, run away, because that person does not have your best interest at heart.
Well put, Dennis. And, you know, I want to go back to the comment about the annuity, because there's different types of annuities, and the one you've been talking about, Dennis, is the immediate annuity. It's kind of like a pension. You put a lump sum, and then you get an income the rest of your life. And as I said earlier, that's actually now less than 10% of all annuities. And the reason I wanted to bring that up is, because I've seen this be the case, Dennis, and I'd like to get your perspective on this, we may run out of time. I'll do it quickly. The point is it may make sense for somebody to draw Social Security, and that lets them wait on tapping into investments or wait on drawing from an annuity that's building income into the future. They may get more money by drawing Social Security at 62 instead of waiting to 70 and drawing the annuity at 70 to supplement their income and giving them an inflation adjustment.
Sure, because it does the same thing, David. You draw Social Security at 70, you get a higher monthly payment than you do at 62 based on your longevity. The annuity works the same way. Okay, and that the longer you wait to draw an annuity, the more money you're going to get. But the difference between the annuity from the insurance company and the annuity from Social Security is, at least with the one that you talked about, the annuity from the insurance company has a death benefit.
Exactly.
So you got a floor under it, so you're not going to lose your entire investment.
Nobody gets to inherit your Social Security benefit.
No, that's true.
No, there's no lump sum. Very good stuff, Dennis Miller. You see why he's on the program, ladies and gentlemen. We're super glad to have Dennis back. The book, Retirement Reboot, and the website, millersmoney.com. And don't forget that /free book, and you can get access to that as a listener of this program. There's also a weekly newsletter. Lots of good stuff. Dennis, thanks for being on the program.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.